Well, I mean, it might work if they gave us a catcher's mitt and fair warning. But what are we supposed to do for drinks? Stand here with a sponge? Wait for them to slop it at us from a bucket? I mean, it's ridiculous. Just hold on a second. Hi, folks. Sorry there, I was talking about the events of the day with a fellow patron. Grim events they are, too. We'll get to that. Welcome. I'm James Lilacs, and I'm sitting here at my accustomed place at the long boomerang pattern for Micah Counter at the old diner on an old Highway 23. That's old Highway 23, mind you, not that new-fangled one they put through in the 60s. No, don't look for the green and white signs. Look for the old black and white signs with the traces of rust. Those are the ones that'll take you in the strange back roads of the state of Minnesota, and along the way you'll find the diner. But it won't take you long. We're only about 18 and a half minutes from wherever you happen to be right now. I'm sitting here enjoying a good cup of diner coffee. Depilatory strength. Oh, man. Oh, holy cow, that thing's been sitting on the Bun-O-Matic for a while. Ooh, I usually don't go for cream and sugar, but I think I may have to here. I started out drinking coffee, cream, and sugar, actually. I think most people do. It's sort of, it's like inhalable heroin. You know, that's the way you first get into it, and then eventually you're mainlining the stuff. And, oof, that's burnt. Well, the reason it's burnt, of course, is that there hasn't been anybody to make coffee here. Poor waitress is running herself ragged. Poor cook. Back there, the man had eight arms of an Indian god he wouldn't be able to keep up. And that's the thing, I mean, the diner, as you know, if you've been with us for a while, I imagine you have, diners, this will be the 14th year that we've been doing this here. Of course, the diner's been here for forever. If you remember a couple of years ago when we kept going back in time, I think we had to go back 8 decades before this spot was just a verdant empty field. But we've been here broadcasting for about 14 years or so, and the diner's had its ups and downs, but the last 3-4 years have just been rough. All started when that syndicate of investors bought us 3 years or so ago. The first batch, I mean, these guys spent a ton of money, and they were going to franchise the diner all around the country, and they were going to turn it into this new concept, but of course they had to mess up the menu. They brought all these chefs in to give you little tiny pieces of meat that you could barely see with an electron microscope, sitting there all naked and alone on big white plates. Nobody wants that from a diner. Nobody comes to a diner for nouvelle cuisine. People come to the diner for things that are bad for them, but good for the soul, for meatloaf slabs as thick as a Tolstoy novel, for big, huge, you know, boats of mashed potatoes with gouts of gravy, with our famous ticker stopper hamburger, which is infused with a quarter stick of butter. I mean, I've been back there in the kitchen. I've seen them melt the butter. I've seen them put it into the little syringe and inject it directly into the meat. And a lot of people say, you know, I don't know if I can taste the difference between a quarter stick of butter in my hamburger or a half a stick of butter or what, but why do you need to do this? It's because there's just something about knowing that you've injected that much butter into a hamburger that makes a place feel different, and different it is. And of course, on top of that, there's the inch of melted cheddar, and the cheddar itself has a latticework of bacon inside of it. That's why they called it the ticker stopper, I imagine, because of course, if you drop it on a watch, the watch breaks. But, I mean, that's what you come to a diner for, right? So the place has always had a good trade, even though the highway came by in the 60s, as I mentioned, and took the traffic away, even though the town up the road sort of failed. Very interesting. They had an actual town with an actual thriving downtown, and then they built a Walmart on the edge of the town. They didn't put any goods in the Walmart. They didn't open the Walmart. They didn't staff the Walmart. They just built a Walmart. An empty Walmart, and it killed the whole town. That was it. Downtown just died, even though I don't know where people went. Very strange. And the only businesses around here, really, you know, you got the camp on Lake Lilac, and that's it. But people still find the place. People still manage to make their way here, at least on, especially on the weekends, where the joint is hopping. The jukebox is going, and there's actually a couple of people cutting a rug, cutting a linoleum square, I guess, in the middle of the place. I mean, it's a wonderful place to be. How could they possibly lose money? Well, the answer is debt. After the first group of owners sold it off, another group of owners came in, and they tried everything, I tell you, to make the place work. And we've been over that. The casino. The strip club. They turned it into a newspaper for a while. Yeah, that'll make you money. And nothing worked. So now where are we? Well, the diner's back to being a diner, and they figured that the only way to make their money back and to prepare the diner for a new lean repositioned future is to close it down and go digital. No, I'm kidding. Even that would be impossible. I mean, you can do that with some industries. You can go all digital, but it's really hard to do that with a restaurant. Possibly you could. You could have some sort of food porn site where people who no longer dare to eat a ticker stock burger would be able to, for a small fee, I don't know, have a live chat with somebody who's making a ticker stopper hamburger, something like that. Or perhaps there's a market for a streamed video of women eating these hamburgers. It's, I mean, I never underestimate the power of perversity and the ability of the web to leverage it, but you never know. No, it's not that. No, they're not going to go digital. No, they're going to make their money back the old-fashioned way. They're going to fire people. And it turns out that, right now the diner is down to a chef, a waitress, and a pearl diver. You know what a pearl diver is, don't you? Term, old term, used in the 40s and 50s for a dishwasher. In those days, dishwashers tended to be vaguely sort of come what made sort of disreputable kind of not guys who couldn't get any other job. Or they were simpletons, or whatever. But a guy would blow into town, he didn't have any place, he didn't have a steak, what would he do? He'd find himself a cheap little hash joint, and get a job as a pearl diver. He worked there for a couple of weeks and move on. So we got a dishwasher, we've got who doubles as a bus boy, bus person, and that's it. Who do you fire? Who do you fire out of that patch? Well, they've taken a look, apparently, at what modern industry gurus are saying, and they can eliminate the busboy because he's an essential part of the production, and the chef is regarded as being in content creation. So the waitress seems to be the weak link then for them. The waitress actually doesn't serve a function. She doesn't create the hamburger. She doesn't clean the dishes. All she does is facilitate transfer of the information from the chef to you. So the waitress is going to be fired. Now you're asking, who's going to take our order, and how are we going to get our food? That's old think, brother. That's just not the way it works anymore. You got to think to the 21st century, where it's completely different. That's right. We're going to be texting our orders in to the chef. Now, mind you, I can see him from where I am right now. I'd wave at him, but that would require him to wave back, and if he takes his hands off the grill, there are three orders, it'll probably be late. So I won't. But I will text him, and then the text will pop up in his little phone, which is glued to the wall somehow, and he'll do that. Now, when it comes to getting the food from there to you, that's something they haven't quite figured out yet. They're figuring that in the new model that they're going to wait to see emerging strategies, and they're going to be marketing you know, their core competencies to see exactly if there's a way in which the food can get out of the kitchen to the customer. They're thinking of throwing it at us, that the chef would actually fling it at us. And you're thinking, of course, French fries all over the floor, cottage cheese on the window, setups, as they're called. That would be the little thing of lettuce and tomato. Setups, askew. You can't fling a platter of hamburgers with French fries and a ticker stopper. You just can't do it. Well, you can, of course, if you cover it with saran wrap and then you get somebody who's got that frisbee flick of the wrist that can actually get it to you, but there's a question of stopping it. So what do we do then? Well, they're apparently, I think it's not here now, but they're going to build a net behind the counter, behind the stools. So if I don't catch the meal as it's thrown to me, it'll actually be gathered by the net, and then I can assemble the constituent elements back on my plate. Now, I have to admit, it's clever thinking. It is a way to operate more leaner for the 21st century, but somehow the ambience of a diner just is not improved with plates flying directly out of the kitchen at the heads of unsuspecting people. I mean, you've got to give them a little bit of a heads up. You know, I remember, though, there was a place that eliminated the waitress back in Fargo, North Dakota. And I don't mean, you know, took her out back and shot her or anything. I mean, they just had no waitresses. They had phones. This was a very modern thing. King's Food Host, I believe, was the name. And you would go to your booth at King's and you would pick up a telephone, which was very cool when you're 7 or 8 years old, and place your order. What was extra specially cool about this was that the telephones themselves had no dials, which was just super incredibly cool and modern. It was like out of, you know, science fiction, phones without dials. Somehow you just picked them up and talked to somebody. That was it. No putting your finger in and spinning it around. Amazing. So the King's Food host then had no waitresses, but somebody, of course, would come from the kitchen and bring you your food on plastic trays, and they were wonderful hamburgers, I think, because the secret ingredient was salt, followed by a substantial and copious quantity of MSG. So I don't know if that's what they're going to do here, but somebody's going to have to bring the food back. Anyway, so that's what we're looking at. Well, I suppose I should be happy anyway. At least the diner's got a few more months of life in it. Well, I mean, I should be happy because it's Friday, right? I love Friday. I adore Fridays. Friday is the great day because Friday I get to do an awful lot of things that don't have to be done the next day. I can write, I can code, I can watch movies. I don't have to worry about getting up the next day. All these wonderful things that could be done on Friday. And there's something else about Friday, too. What is it? Come on. Tip of my tongue. What is it about Friday I love and have loved ever since 20 years now? I've got a head full of mozzarella cheese. No, Swiss cheese. That's the stuff with the holes in it. You know. Can't remember. Well, it'll come to me eventually. Anyway, there's something about Fridays that I like, and part of it is just, of course, the joy of being here and looking at the jukebox and wondering what the mysterious fellow comes in the middle of the night to stock the jukebox is put in here today. Let us, Oh, yeah. Bitter, hot coffee that's cold. Can't win. Let's take a look at the jukebox, and let's go straight, shall we, to A1. I like Fridays, too, but I can't sing about them, so I don't. Wow. Holy crow. Man, if that's A2, if that's the flip side, what was the A side like? Let's take a look. A1. Can I pawn my teeth to you? I think I know who's singing that. I actually think I do. There's one song on the jukebox that I asked them to keep forever because I knew I'd want to play it at some point. And I think it's the same guy. I think it's the same man who sang the Deathless song, Listen, Mr. Hat. I've never been able to figure out what it's about, but as far as I can tell, it's maybe somebody at a bar, half in the bag, or quarter, or three-fourths, or seven-eighths, who's addressing somebody sitting next to him who's got a hat on and seems to think that he knows everything that's going on in the world because he's got a hat, and he doesn't. And so let me tell you something. Listen, Mr. Hat. At least that's the impression that I got from the song. Let's go way back. I think I kept this in the way, way back. I think this is ZZ4. It's like the secret side of the jukebox here where nobody else can go. I've got to enter a code. Okay, there. All right, here we go.
Peace and love, man. and what is more, time and tide and space and life's big roar, they all make a dent in where you're at. Listen, Mr. Hat. Taxes, pain and strife and all the rest, work and health and food and your small nest, how they make you swing when you're at bat. Listen, Mr. Hat. There is a way to hit that ball. There is a way to never fall. Right at the plate you stand and swing. Come this, that, or anything. When you fold your tent and say goodbye, don't expect your woes away to fly. They will cling to you, come this, come that. Listen, Mr. Hat.
Beef and meat and tallow fat. This was poison for Jack Sprat. Yet his wife ate it, as did their brat. Listen, Mr. Hat.
Yeah, okay, well, that's enough of that. Sometimes I wonder if we just play large segments of these tunes to see if the copyright holders are still in existence and are going to come screaming out to tell us to cease and desist. Glad to do so. Ceasing and desisting right now. So I'm talking to other people here off and on all day, and, you know, we're thinking there's got to be a way to save this place without losing a waitress. Or, you know, as I said before, being beamed by dishes flying out of the kitchen, and we're thinking maybe some sort of automat. Now, if you had the old automat or horn and hard art functions that they used to have in New York City, big wall of vending machines, mysterious places, put in your coins, get out your slice of pie. Pie, why is that familiar? Why am I thinking of, why does that jog something in my head? Pie, what pie? I don't eat a lot of pie. Diner pie is great. People come from miles around. We're not going to save this place with pie. What was it? Something on the tip of... Oh, never mind. And maybe something like that, because then you'd have to have the waitress stand behind and stock the thing. She'd have to put a piece of this in there. She'd have to put a piece of that in there. She'd have to put a piece of pie in there. What did I just say? What am I... This is going to drive me nuts. Anyway, as I was saying, I like Fridays because... No, I can't even remember my main reason for liking Fridays. You know, maybe it's the coffee today. I don't know what it is. I'm hopeless. I can't think of anything. Can't finish a sentence. Well, maybe it'll come to me if I have a piece of music that will dynamite loose, jog out that stuck little fragment of thought that I can't dislodge from my mental gums. All right, let's just go at random here and see what we got. I'm going to go to... Let's go to F1.
Town of Azusa, there is a cafe that I like a lot. I like it because they serve mostly pizza. I like it because of the waitress they got. Her name is Lena, but I call her Spotty, cause she spills spaghetti all over her dress. Lena, she really does love me, cause she always calls me her favorite pest. One day I was sitting there eating my pizza. I really enjoy it, I like it with cheese. When in walked a fella who looked awful sneaky, he grabbed hold of Lena and gave her a squeeze. I got so mad that I started to holler. I challenged him to a fight. I said he was yeller than that great big fella. He knocked out two teeth with a beautiful right. I was wrong. I found out he was heavyweight champ of the Navy. His fists were tattooing all over my chin. and help me. She hit my head with a pizza pie tin. I got on my knees and I started crawling, crawling right straight for the door. He tried to kick me and slipped on some pizza and knocked himself out as his head hit the floor. Then Olina, she stood there a-stomping and yelling and screaming. Her voice was real piercing, man, that chick could wail. The police came in and then Dearlina told him that jerk hit my husband, so throw him in jail. I got 30 days for assault and battery. At least I think that is what the judge said. Now there's no more Lena and there's no more pizza. I eat at a Chinese cafe.
Seriously, I don't know why we should have to put up with this. I mean, we've been, how long have we been here, right? We've got to have some say in this. Oh, sorry. We've got to have some say in this place. I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention to that song at all. Marty Robbins, right? I love Marty Robbins, and I'm frankly a bit surprised that El Paso ended up on the jukebox here. I mean, I don't have to listen to the song to know that's what it is. I can hear it. It's just a beautiful song. No matter how many times I hear that song, it just gets you right here. And I always wondered if the hero of El Paso, he's got a lovely singing voice. You have to grant him that. But I always wondered if there was a reason that the beautiful Rosita or whatever her name was didn't go for him, because maybe he was really, really ugly. Chancrous face, blackheads, one eyeball bulging out. Marty Feldman syndrome, if you wish. And, gross, obese, sweating, club-footed. It's a whole panoply of physical disorders, which, of course, is nothing about himself as a person. I'm sure he was a lovely person, except for the whole unrequited love and gunplay and stuff bit. But, at least he got to die happy. At least she came out and gave him a kiss before he died. Although, I wonder what would have happened if he'd revived. I'm guessing that she pretty much looked around and said, is he going to die? Is he going to die? Because if he's not going to die, I'm not going to kiss him. He's going to die. Okay, he's going to die. I'll give him a kiss. All right. Okay. Adios. 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 Gracias. De nada. So anyway, I hope you enjoyed a little Marty Robbins. Unusual, classy music here at the diner. We were arguing before about how we should do something to save this place and keep the waitress around, and I was just about to come up with my idea, and it slipped out of my head again. In the old days, I'd have a smoke, and that would somehow bring the thought back, or so you'd like to think. You want to increase your mental acuity, have some caffeine, and have a cigarette. It didn't work that way, of course, but we always liked to think that there was something contemplative and brain-jogging about a cigarette. Actually, it was just satiating our little addiction there, wasn't it? No, sir, don't miss him at all. Not a bit. It's really amazing that I can sit here in the diner after all these years and not once really feel that I should have a cigarette, even though people around me are smoking like crazy. Oh, yes, the diner has a grandfathered-in exemption. There we go. Hey, maybe that's it. That's how we save the place. Come and smoke. Nah, then we lose the non-smoking crowd. But I had an idea, and I forgot it again. Oh, give up. Oh. Here, word from one of our sponsors. While this plays, I'm going to go to the restroom, splash cold water in my face. Then, maybe then, I can figure out what I was going to come up with.
L&M filters are sweeping the country. L&M. The filter tip cigarette everyone's talking about. Everyone's changing to. Here's what Joan Bennett told us. Never before have I found a filter so good. A taste I enjoy so much as in L&M's. And David Wayne says, L&M's have the best filter of them all. Miracle Tip is right. There's nothing like it. Diana Lynn wrote, I had no idea a filter cigarette could taste as good as L&M's. They're light and mild and full of flavor. Yes, L&M filters are truly sweeping the country, breaking more sales records every day. The reason? It's the filter that counts. And no filter compares with L&M's Miracle Tip. Notice how easy it draws. You get much more flavor, much less nicotine. Yes.
This is it. L&M filters. This is it. Something new.
Now two sizes.
L&M filters. Two king size and regular two.
This is it.
L&M filters. L&M filters with the miracle seal.
So join the trend to L&M. King size, regular. Both at the same low price.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore. When the world seems to shine like
it. No, I'm saying there's got to be something that's not, that isn't traditionally diner specific. You know what I mean? Something that people don't associate with a diner, but yet would fit perfectly into the diner. No, I don't know what it is. Give me time, it'll come to me. Hold on, sorry. We're having a big, you know, kind of a, what they'd call a stakeholders meeting here. Steak, that's it. No, we already serve steak, sort of. When we serve steak and eggs. It's not really steak. I don't know what that meat is. We're trying to think of some ideas, something new that the diner could serve that they don't now, that would allow them to get more business in and keep the waitress. In fact, that would require a waitress because it couldn't be flung, or maybe could be, but could be carried. I don't know. There's just I wish I could think of what it is. It's driving me crazy. Anyway, like I said, we're brainstorming here, and I hate to do this, but I'm going to put another tune on the jukebox and go ahead, listen, and I'll be right back. I mean, whatever I'm thinking of, I've got to remember it, right? I mean, it's Friday, for heaven's sakes, and it has something to do with Friday. What is it? Sell bourbon? No, that's not it. That's not it. Anyway, let's go to this. This would be M1.
He's the new sensation in the nation, Pizza Boy USA. He's the flying saucer innovation, Pizza Boy USA. He's getting ready now, listen to that crowd. He's a Pizza Boy USA. Toss a pizza, roll a pizza up and all around the Pizza Boy. Look at it fly. Toss a pizza, roll a pizza up and all around the Pizza Boy. Oh, what a guy. They love him so when he flips that dough. He's Pizza Boy USA.
What do you mean? You want me to turn the music down? You can't think? Okay, sorry. Hold on. I'm sorry. I don't know what it is. I give up. Whatever idea I had, it's not going to come back to me. I'm going to leave here. That's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go home. I'm going to have my Friday as I usually do. And maybe after a weekend, my brain will be cleared and I'll be able to retrieve the idea that I thought was going to save the diner. Right now, apparently it's just not enough to have a diner with great greasy breakfasts with mounds of hash browns and sizzling bacon and hot sausage and grits. Well, grits have been off the menu since 77, but you know what I mean. And great, wonderful desserts and chunky, chunky soups and ticker stopper butter burgers and pancakes and all the rest of it. No, that's not good enough. We've got to have something else to bring in the trade. I just don't know what it possibly is. So I'm going to go home. I'm going to have my evening. I'm going to pour myself a nice glass of Maker's Mark. Before that, well, you know, Fridays I don't eat here because Friday is always when I go home and have pizza at home. So I'll... Pizza. Yes, of course. That's it. We'll turn the diner into a pizza restaurant. That's absolutely perfect. That's what I was trying to think of. It'll conform perfectly with diner style. We can put in some Czech tablecloths. We'll get some fiaschi, the old Chianti bottles. We'll put candles in them. It will be an old-style, old-line pizzeria. And where are we going to get the crust? That's simple. How much saltine crackers, World War II surplus, do we have back there? There's plenty of a little fine sauce, you know, a little pepper in the Heinz ketchup is what I'm talking about. And those wonderful little pepperonis that curl up at the edges and contain little pools of grease within. Oh, an old-styled, old-line post-war pizza joint. That's it! Ah, but what to call it? What to call it? All good names seem to be taken.
Well, what else is something that's round? Something round. Pizza manhole. No, not that. Pizza circle. Pizza frisbee. Pizza... what's round? Around a hat, of course. Brilliant. What says good eating like headgear, hat? That's what we'll call it. The diner, now incorporating pizza hat, and that'll be our campaign. When somebody wants to eat some food, we'll just tell them to listen, Mister Hat. Perfect. I can see the money rolling in right now. Oh, this is just wonderful. I think I've saved the diner, folks. I think I've saved it, indeed. Done my part to bring it down, but I think I've saved it. So, by the next time we get together, we should have the place done, provided, of course, that I can talk to the owners and get them to go along with this whole thing. You never know how they're going to feel about this. Huh. But then again, they've tried everything. They might as well try that. I'm surprised they didn't try Pizza Hat before. I just love the idea. Matter of fact, I'm so serious about this, I'm going to go home, call up Photoshop, and I'm going to make a logo. That's how serious I am. I'm going to make a logo. So next time you see us, there'll be a few changes here on the diner, I'm happy to say, and I think I'll be personally responsible for just a few of them. Thanks for dropping by, folks. This has been the diner for Friday, January 15th, 2010. We'll see you down the road.